'Tis the season for writing recommendations and references. They're lining up outside my office. Eighth graders, there are a few here. Father, can I go to Gonzaga or visitation? Sure. Father, I'm a high school senior at visitation or Gonzaga. Can I go to Georgetown, Notre Dame, or wherever? Father, I'm a senior in college. Can you write a recommendation for a job? Or even, believe it or not, the Jesuits. Yes, they are applying to the Jesuits right here. Well, I'd like to applaud you because it is a fact. We have had a man ordained this past year whose parents are from this parish. We will have a man ordained this May or June who was part of this community. And next year, we'll have another man ordained who is a member of this community 10 years. It's from you, and not just Jesuits. There are, I've spoken with women who are interested in religious life. It comes from you, the faith, and not just consecrated ministry, the ministry that I'll be talking about that this place cultivates. But I'd like to point out one thing. By the way, it is Vocation Sunday for the Jesuits, so I am giving you some of the propaganda that I was, by obedience, told to. But it is a curiosity that these readings are in references and recommendations. What is a recommendation? Someone is closing a chapter in his or her story, an ending, and someone is opening a new door, a new chapter, and they're asking me to help them open the door, open the beginning. Each of these recommendations, that's what it's about. Openings and beginnings, closings and endings. Our three readings today, folks, have that about them. Malachi, if you look up at the Catholic canon of the Bible in the Old Testament, the very last book is the book of Malachi. If you turn the page, the very first book is the Gospel of Matthew. And chronologically, the very first reading in the New Testament is from Thessalonians. Endings and beginnings, closings and openings. We hear tonight the ways in which these closings are happening and hurting. The closing of the minds that we heard in Malachi is pronouncing. Malachi 500 BC, think of that. And he's saying, you folks, you're missing the covenant. You've closed it off. And he's saying, we have to keep it open. Listen to what he's saying, particularly about the infidelity of the people towards the covenant. This promise of God's presence. I will be with you. Be open to my presence. They weren't. He is saying, have we not all but one Father? Has not the one God created each of us? Why then do we break faith with one another, violating the covenant of our forebears? Malachi is pointing to the abuse of power. And he's saying we need to change. Be an agent of change around the covenant is what Malachi is saying. Then we hear Jesus going after the Pharisees. And the Pharisees is saying, you're violating, you're putting burdens on people. What are you doing? This is not the covenant. You're abusing your power. Wide phylacteries. Don't call yourself Father. I mean, this is not just the priest now. It's to each of us. How might, whether the church, certainly the church sadly has abused power. Our government, our communities, our education at times, it's truth. Speaking to power is what Jesus is saying. And guess what? It got him in trouble. That kind of language led him to the cross. But he wants us to know, let us listen again. For they preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders, and they will not lift a finger to move them. Brothers and sisters, this is our God challenging the abuses of power in his day. The ways in which we are called to recognize this, both subtly and directly is a challenge. We cannot do it alone. We need one another to awaken, be aware, and be change agents of God's love. This week, 3 days ago, Cardinal World published a letter on racism. This is being supported. This is the month of real consciousness at the U.S. Catholic Conference of Bishops, led, by the way, Bishop George Murray, who's Bishop of Youngstown, Ohio, a Jesuit who happened to be part of this community many years ago, former president of Carroll High School. Bishop George Murray, an African-American Jesuit who's leading this cause. Cardinal World's words hit directly home. By the way, this whole address of his will be on our parish link this week in our e-bulletin. But listen what he says. To address racism, we need to recognize two things. That it exists in a variety of forms, some more subtle and others more obvious. And that there is something we can do about it, even if we realize that what we say and the steps that we take will not result in an immediate solution to a problem that spans generations. We must, however, confront this issue with the conviction that in some personal ways we can help to resolve it. I'd like to suggest that there are ways that this parish is resolving it. There's more to do, but I'd like you to take home tonight your parish bulletin. And there you will read about our grade school and how it has a diversity committee at Holy Trinity School and how first and second graders and fifth graders are learning to be diversity awareness and conscious of the issues at their level. Flip the page and you will see an essay by my colleague Corelia Pollan, who just returned from the border of the Kino Project along the border of New Mexico. 12 of our parishioners were there, listening to both sides of the issue, to the ranchers, to the women and children and men who are migrants and immigrants, to the political issues. And they're going to come back, they've come back, and they're going to talk about it to the parish as well as to the bishops here in Washington. But Corelia tells a beautiful story, a tradition of the De los Muertos, of the dead, the way in her practice of Mexican spirituality, of Catholicism, the way they reverence what we have here, an altar with our loved ones. This is diversity. This weekend, and there are some young men and women who are here tonight who spent Saturday and Sunday over in Arlington listening to more talks around the Ignatian Family Teaching for Justice. Hundreds of young men and women, and not just young, older, who came to learn more about what it means in the context of here in this area or nationally. Here's the purpose of this annual teaching: to come together in a context of social justice and solidarity, to learn, reflect, pray, network, and advocate together. In union, there is strength. And the very word solidarity is taken right from some of the encyclicals of Pope John Paul II. This is the church making a difference and spreading the good news. But notice, the operative word is network. No one can do this alone. That is the church using a power to change. That is what Jesus was asking. That is what Malachi is asking. But for our own day, how can we be agents of change, my brothers and sisters? We do it through the covenant, the old covenant of Malachi, the new covenant of Jesus, the transformative power of the Eucharist in our lives, that we gather together and believe together that we can make a difference in racism, sexism, other kinds where abuse of power has happened. Let us feel the power of Pentecost, the Spirit touching us, moving us, leading us and moving us as disciples of Jesus, because he couldn't do it alone either. Not just his apostles. He had his mother, and he had that bonding of God's presence in his life, moving towards a kingdom, a reign of God that really does speak of a power of justice, a power of love that would transform all creation into the power of a God who embraces us with life and in death.